Dear friends, thank you for joining us this week. Here we are ready for our Gnostic lab for practical application. And what we would like to do with you this week is to do a brief meditation practice. Meditation is certainly, listen to us please, meditation is certainly part of the esoteric discipline of every sincere Gnostic student. So when we are saying that meditation is the esoteric discipline, we have to put aside any preconceptions, any invented definitions, any wrong definitions, and absolutely all fanaticism aside as it pertains to the word esoteric. Because some people hear the word esoteric and they tend to associate that with something dark, tenebrous, okay? And they make that association because the word esoteric means occult. So let's go ahead and explain that for a second. Meditation is the esoteric discipline of every Gnostic student because meditation is the occult discipline of every Gnostic student. And what that means is that this is a practice that you do and you don't share it with people and you don't share your experience and you don't speak about it. And this is something very individual, particular, and intimate for each and every one of us. So this is why meditation is the esoteric discipline of every Gnostic student. Because when we put this into practice, we are seeking to reach a level of relaxation that is deep and profound so that we can effectively listen to the voice of the silence. So that we can effectively make a connection directly with our innermost. This is what we are seeking. Samael makes very clear the reason why we meditate. And we want you to remember this and never forget it. We meditate because we need to calm down. Our mental activity is currently masculine. That means that our mind is constantly projecting. And we are constantly projecting thoughts, just as we are constantly projecting fears, we are constantly projecting doubt, we are constantly projecting resentments, we are constantly projecting suspicions, we are constantly projecting stuff. And for as long as the mind continues in that level of activity, constantly projecting, it is going to be very difficult for the mind to be able to receive. Every time that we see an image of the Buddha, we see that his hands are in an attitude of receiving. Every time that we see the Buddha holding a cup, the cup of wisdom, the cup is always right side up because it is always ready for the wine of wisdom to be poured into that cup. That cup, those hands, they are a symbol of the mind of the Buddha. So for all purposes, our cup is inverted. Our hands are not relaxed and open, they are closed as fists. This is the way that we are when it comes to the condition of our mind. So we need to calm down. We need to calm down our mental activity. We need to calm down our emotions. Because when we calm those two down, our physical body calms down as well. We cannot meditate if we are too worried because we're uncomfortable. We cannot meditate if we are too distracted because our legs keep moving or we just keep shaking our legs from side to side and in a constant shaking motion, or if we are just tapping our foot on the floor as if we were responding to the beat of some mediocre music. We cannot meditate in those conditions. We cannot meditate if our eyes are distracted with imagery. We cannot meditate if our sense of smell is distracted with foul odors. We certainly cannot meditate if our sense of hearing is distracted with the many things that can be happening around us. So for us to be able to make of meditation the esoteric discipline of the Gnostic student, we need to create an environment that is auspicious for meditation. So our bedroom, if it is the bedroom, our den, our living room, whatever place we choose for this, it should be organized. It should be cleaned. We should make sure that the environment is well prepared for the exercise. So we can burn some incense. We can burn perhaps the perfume of your zodiac. And when we are working on an environment that is clean and organized, when the air in that environment has been prepared, whether it is with frankincense or with myrrh, or whether it is with the essence of roses, then the conditions are more favorable. And if we can have in the background some classical music, music of great composers, not the confusion that many of us have that instrumental music is classical music, because that would be an incorrect. Music from great composers like Bach and Beethoven and Chopin, Liszt. We can then play that music subtly in the background, enough so that we can perceive it, but not enough so that we get distracted by it, you see? And as we do that, then we offer some nourishment to all of our senses, whether it is our sense of touch with the temperature of the room, not too hot, not too cold, our sense of smell with the incense, the frankincense, the myrrh, whether it is the essence of roses, and then our hearing with the music of the great masters in the background. When we do that, we deliberately take care of so many other distractions, and we create an environment that is then more conducive for the exercise of meditation. So as we assume a comfortable posture, as the environment has been made ready, what we are seeking is to calm down. We calm down the physicality, we calm down our emotions, we calm down the projections that are coming out of our intellect. And as we start reaching those profound stages of relaxation, what will inevitably happen would be that the consciousness will find the opportunity to escape the bottle of the ego. The consciousness will be able to reach a point in which it can liberate itself from the cage of the ego. And when that consciousness liberates, the sensation that the sincere practitioner receives is that he is no longer an individual. The sensation that the practitioner experiences is that they are no longer that thing that they think they have been all along. This good person with these defects because they are human and they make mistakes and all of these things that we say about us, all of that disappears. And in that moment of no identity, then the practitioner realizes that he is one with the all. He finds himself lost within the plenitude of the being and the real being. And for many, this is a terrifying experience. And the moment they experience it, the shock of consciousness is so aggressive that they immediately return into their body. Many of them return into their body feeling their heart rate skyrocketing, feeling those pulsations just pounding on their chest. But that is the ultimate condition of the consciousness itself. It is to be lost within that plenitude. It is to be fused with prajna. Because prajna is that divine wisdom. It is that divine intelligence. It is all of that that exists beyond the affections and beyond considerations and even beyond love. What we are seeking is the opportunity to experience the innermost. And the experience is so profound and it is so touching that it will charge your consciousness in such a way that the moment you come back into your body, you're going to experience a longing for that state continuously. But we have a word of warning. Because the fact that you may experience the illuminating void does not mean that you are illuminated. There is a big difference between experiencing what it is like to be illuminated and being illuminated itself. So the moment that you experience that illuminating void, don't share it with anybody. Because for starters, nobody will be able to understand what you're talking about. And the more you explain it, the more confusing it will become in that translation. So don't do that. This is something that is esoteric. It is occult. It is something that you keep within your own intimacy and your own privacy. This is something that you keep in secret. Because in all honesty, nobody else cares. And nobody will care. And the fact that you may share your experience will trigger nothing more than envy, resentment in others. And we don't need that. We are seeking the experience of the illuminating void. And to do that, we must certainly need to relax. And for us to relax, today we're going to do a beautiful practice with the mantra of the Prajna Paramitas, those great beings that move themselves and exist willfully within that illuminating void, within that emptiness that is certainly not empty, of those who have experienced the truth, those who have experienced the mercy of the mercy and the justice of the justice, the intelligence of the intelligence. In this practice, we will use the mantra Gate, Gate, Paragate, Parasamgate, Bodhisvaha. Now we understand that is a mouthful. We need you to make an effort so that you can remember it. Gate, gate, paragate, parasamgate, bodhisvaha. This mantra is Sanskrit. And when we translate it into English, with the limitations of our language and the degeneration that we have achieved until today, we cannot honor with words the profound content behind the mantra. But we can translate it in a way that we can grasp its meaning. Gate, gate means liberation. Liberation. Parasamgate. To the other side of the river. Bodhi.
gate, gate, para gate, para samgate. Para gate, para samgate.
To the other side of the river, all of humanity, illumination, aleluya.
Gate, gate, para gate, para samgate, bodhisattva,
liberation, liberation to the other side of the river, all of humanity, illumination, aleluya. This mantra is invoking, asking and begging the innermost for the liberation of the consciousness to the other side of the river. The fact that we're saying to the other side of the river implies that our creative powers are involved deeply into this exercise. And what that is telling us is that our breathing must be conscious, so that our creative waters then become adequately transmuted. To the other side of the river. To that other side in this path of transmigration of consciousness, this transmigration of soul. That experience of those angelic realms, of those heavens, so that we can ultimately experience heaven on earth. All of humanity, not just us, the ones who are practicing, but all of humanity, because the moment that we can have this experience, because I am you and you are me, the moment that I experience it, you can experience it. In the moment that you receive the benefit of this profound experience, you also create a benefit for me, the rest of humanity. Bodhi is illumination. Allow us to experience the fire of the fire itself. Allow us to experience the light, the brightness of the light itself. And Swaha is aleluya. It is a celebration. It is an expression of gratitude, of gratefulness.
Gate, gate, para gate, para samgate, bodhi swaha.
Now, how do you chant this mantra? Well, you can chant it verbally. You can certainly do that. Many people try to chant it verbally, and they become so involved with the mantra that they identify themselves with their voice, and then they stay here. So chant this mantra with your heart. Chant this mantra with your silent word. It is perfectly fine if you do that. Seek the condition of pratyahara, meaning no thinking. There is no need to think. There is no need to analyze. There is no need to have any considerations of anything. There is no need to think about anything at all. We are seeking the condition of no thinking. And we can seek this condition with relaxation. Samael tells us, identify yourself with a corpse. Identify yourself with a cadaver. Not because he is being morbid in his description, but because he is inviting us to identify ourselves with a condition where we are not paying attention to anything that is happening within our own senses. He is asking us to deliberately go senseless, because in that senselessness, there are no distractions. There is no identification. There is no fascination, and there is certainly no sleep of consciousness. And as we do that, we give an opportunity to the consciousness to liberate itself from the cage of the ego. Dear friends, our greatest longing is that you can put this into practice
and that you can experience the magnitude and the impact of the illuminating void. There is nothing that we long more than you to have this particular experience. Do not deprive yourself from it and practice it. So let's go ahead and make ourselves ready for this practice. By now, feel free just to throw a towel before the screen so that the light of the screen is not a distraction for you. Let's go ahead and let's sit comfortably on our chair. Let's go ahead. Let's close our eyes. And let's take a series of deep breaths. We are seeking for a condition of relaxation where our pulse comes down substantially. We are seeking for a profound state of relaxation where our blood pressure within our own body eases as well. We are seeking for a condition of relaxation where we are not carrying any stress, any worries. At this moment, everything else can wait. Let's breathe comfortably through our nose. And let's take a deep inhalation, an inhalation that you can follow with us, counting from 1 to 5. Inhaling, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hold it. 1, 2, 3. Exhale. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Inhale. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and hold. 1, 2, 3, exhale. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Allow the breathing to flow naturally through your body. As you breathe in and out, you may notice a very peculiar sound of the breath flowing through your nostrils. We are seeking a state of relaxation where we continue our breathing, and that breathing is very silent. And in the calmness of that breathing, we will invoke our innermost. He's saying, Divine Father, Father of mine, you who are my true being, you who are my internal God, we ask of you, of your guidance and of your protection. We ask that you guide us in this exercise. We invite you to be the one sitting here making use of this body. We invite you to be the one breathing here with this body, so that the sitting is perfect, and so that the breathing is also perfect. We beg you with our soul and our heart for the experience of the illuminating void. And we ask that the experience does not happen on our expectations or our own conditions. But we ask that you give us this opportunity to experience it. Under your own circumstance. And as a surprise. So that we can experience it without expecting it. So that we can experience it without preconceived notions. And at this moment of quietness, let's make use of our objective imagination, which is our faculty of clairvoyance, so that we can see that our physical body is inundated by an infinite amount of little gnomes. Maintaining the rhythm of the breathing, let's see these gnomes walking out our toes. And as they walk out, they allow for a very deep and profound state of relaxation in our feet, our ankles, our shins, and our calves. We continue breathing without making any effort. And with every exhalation, we feel that relaxation reaching our thighs, our hips, our sexual creative organs, and we feel our intestines. Our liver. Our spleen. Our pancreas and our stomach. All of them relaxing
And with every exhalation, letting go of any stress. Letting go of any worries. We continue observing these little gnomes walking out our toes and our feet. And we bring that same state of deep and profound relaxation into our heart, into our lungs. We allow the relaxation to reach our shoulders. And at this point, with every inhalation and with every exhalation, we can allow our physical body just to calmly rest and sink into that chair. We continue breathing in gratitude and in gratefulness for that silent breath. And we feel how our exhalations become every time more profound. As if every time we can go deeper into the exhalation itself. So let's bring our attention again to those gnomes walking out our toes and our feet. And as they walk out, we feel that relaxation reaching and extending beyond our shoulders. And it cascades down our arms into our elbows, our forearms, our wrists, our hands, and it extends throughout our fingers. With every exhalation, we allow that profound sense of relaxation to reach our neck, our jaw. We relax our tongue, and we relax our lips. We relax the muscles of our face. We relax our eyes, our eyelids. We allow that frown just to fade away.
And we bring that relaxation all around our scalp, up to the crown of our head. And we are grateful for this moment. We show gratitude for it. But we do not identify with it. This is meant to be the state of relaxation in which we should be at all times. A state of relaxation that allows us to receive and listen to the voice of the silence within us. Divine Father, let it be you, be the breathing. And allow us to chant for you the mantra Gate Gate Paragate Parasamgate Bodhi Swaha. Liberation, liberation to the other side of the river. All of humanity, liberation, alleluia. Gate. Gate. Parasamgate. Gate. Gate. Paragate. Parasamgate. Bodhi. Swaha. Gate. Gate. Paragate. Sangate. Bodhi. Swaha. There is no need to think. Gate. Gate. Paragate. Parasangate. Bodhi. Swaha. There should be no worries. There should be no tension. There should be no preoccupations. Just the breathing. The silent breath and the breath of life. Gate. Gate. Parasangate. Bodhi. Swaha. Gate. Gate. Paragate. Parasangate. Bodhi. Swaha. Gate. Gate. Paragate. Parasangate. Bodhi. Swaha. Gate. Paragate. Parasamgate. Divine Father, we ask that it is your breathing because otherwise how could our breathing be perfect? Divine Father, we ask that it is you in the sitting because otherwise how can there be perfect relaxation? Divine Father, guide us teach us on how to create a receptive mind so that we may have the opportunity to experience you. Gate. Gate. Paragate. Parasamgate. Bodhi. Swa. Gate. Gate. Paragate. Parasamgate. Bodhi. Swaha. Gate. Gate. Paragate. Parasamgate. Bodhi. Swaha. Maintain this profound state of relaxation. There is no thinking. There is only breathing. There is only sitting.